brought to you by Lightspeed Zulu, simply the quietest, most comfortable headset in the world, and by Phillips 66 Aviation, the most trusted wings in aviation. If you could own the world's quietest, most comfortable aviation headset, why would you want anything else? Visit Lightspeed Aviation's pavilion outside Hangar B and ask about our expanded trade-up program, opening the door to everyone ready to move up to a Zulu. And while you're here, vote for your favorite aviation charity. The top five will each receive $10,000 from the Lightspeed Aviation Foundation.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from EAA Air Venture 2010. We're with Alan Clapmeyer, who has just taken over a new job as CEO of Kestrel. So my first question, Alan, is you're an intelligent guy who almost escaped from this industry. What would make a sane person want to get back into it with a difficult project like the Kestrel?
Well, one of the things I'm often accused of is having too much passion for the industry, but in fact, I believe it's the opposite, and that a rational economic evaluation of this industry would say there's good investments here. This is the right thing to be doing, and it's the right time to do it.
Where's this airplane going to fit in your mind? There's a lot of competition in the single-engine turboprop field, not quite in this size or speed range. Is there a niche for it?
Yeah, there definitely is, and that is the starting point, of course, in any kind of analysis, is what is the market, what's the product that fits the need, and trying to decide, can you get that right product for that need. From a product niche, I should probably start by first differentiating it from the single-engine jets, which obviously we'd spend a lot of time looking at. This will be a larger airplane with that than those would have been with more capability, and it needs to be because it's a more expensive airplane. Turboprops cost more. They've got gearboxes, which are heavy and expensive, and propellers, which are heavy and expensive. So you're driven to a larger airplane by economics, not by the physics of it. You know, we can design a smaller airplane, but the economics are that if it's going to be more expensive, it has to be big enough to have the value to be worth it. So in this case, that niche is an airplane that will carry a pretty sizable payload, a very long distance, and then importantly in and out of shorter runways. If you don't need the shorter runway aspect of the turboprops, it's a tougher value game for the company to argue compared to jets and other alternatives. In this case, what we're looking for is an airplane that will be easy to operate by a personal pilot that's moving up the chain, clearly not a Cirrus easy step, but not an impossible step given the size of the airplane. And need to get in and out of the smaller runways, the more out-of-the-way places, and carry a whole bunch of stuff with them.
The performance of this airplane is VLJ-like. The VLJs really did not potentiate in the market. It kind of fizzled, as a matter of fact. Why do you think something like this can make it where that class of airplanes really has not?
Well, first of all, from a performance point of view, I think of this as a step above the personal jets from a performance point of view. Again, you know, in terms of payload range and things like that. And I wouldn't agree with the characterization that the personal jets have fizzled, or not necessarily even the VLJs. A lot of definitional problems with those terms. I would argue that there have been some execution issues and certainly some financing issues in getting those airplanes to the market. Not issues about whether or not the airplane fits a customer's needs. I think that's a yet-to-be-proven question. And I expect that when it's proven, there will be a very happy outcome for the customers and those airplanes.
Well, speaking of financing and execution, how is this financed? And it will be executed mainly for manufacturing in Brunswick, Maine. How's all that going to work?
Right. The production will be in Brunswick, Maine at what has been the Brunswick Naval Air Station, which was BRAC listed in 2005 and is going through the final closing process right now. The P-3 Orion squadrons that were based there are now down in Jacksonville, Florida, where I'll point out is much more hot and humid than Maine. So it's a great asset. It's a great resource for us to use. And obviously it's a community that is going to get some pretty severe economic dislocation losing that military payroll. So it's a good fit for us to do something with them. That drives a lot of the financing of the project, obviously. So this is clearly an economic development driven part of it. We wouldn't be in Maine if Brunswick was not available. that's also not sufficient on its alone to have that be the choice. It just makes it a really good place to start. After that, it's having the right kind of workforce. They've got a lot of composites activity and experience there, so that's good, good productive workforce. And then there's the financial piece of it. So with the economic development help from the state and the community and some federal government programs, it gives us a really good leg up on getting the rest of the company financed, which has not been done yet. We still have to put together all the financing. Probably one of my biggest frustrations through the years has been this capital formation process. If you think aviation is a tough business, you know, the financial world is an insane business. You know, we're dealing with a much more practical product than the financial world is. So it's very, very, very difficult to finance an aviation project. What the economic development pieces give us is a, you know, either better leverage or better certainty, lower risk for the financial part of this to make it easier to raise the money.
Where to from here? How does this ramp up?
How it ramps up, first of all, the new company is Kestrel Aircraft Company. It is based upon the work, and you can think of it as a merger with what was Farnborough Aircraft Company that had been doing the Kestrel aircraft for nearly 10 years. So they've got a lot of certification work done, a lot of good detailed engineering work done. What remains is still a lot of work that is then taking that engineering work, finalizing the detailed design, going into the substantiation phase, making sure that we get the certification done, and then obviously starting production. So the next step is sort of a reevaluation of the airplane. There are a number of things that they were looking at changing that we're still going to look at changing. And that includes things like reevaluating the size of the engine. This is a very high-performance airplane, and some would call it overpowered. So the question is, do we really need that much power, and what is the cost of it? Is there a lower cost point that still gets us the right value for the customer? And we'll be looking at all the components in the airplane and avionics and making those choices. Then going through the certification and building conforming prototype phases. So obviously we have to make those decisions first, then build the conforming prototypes. And while that's going on, we'll be ramping up the production and putting the tooling in place in the buildings in Brunswick.
And of course the airplane is on display here at Oshkosh.
The airplane that's on display here at Oshkosh, people should think of it as a proof of concept airplane. It's been flying for 3 years or so. The performance is pretty impressive. Gives you a good idea of the size of the airplane and the comfort of the airplane. But again, there'll be a lot of details that'll be changing.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's going to be fun.
We've been speaking with Alan Klapmeyer, the new CEO of Kestrel Aircraft. And you can see the Kestrel here at EAA Air Venture. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
With over 700 FBOs nationwide and the strongest supply in the industry, it's no wonder Phillips 66 is aviation's number one fuel provider. Phillips 66, the most trusted wings in aviation.